Welcome to my Best Life Now podcast, where we provide simple tips to live your life on purpose by gaining clarity, building your confidence, and using your personal power. I am your host, certified coach, speaker, and trainer, Julieta Piox. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you. I am happy that you are back for another episode. Thank you for your support, and thank you for continuing to listen and also for sharing my podcast with your network. It is very much appreciated. How are you doing today? You know, there's a quote that I often use either in my presentations, when I speak to groups, and also just for myself that I have it here hanging in my office. And that quote is from Marianne Williamson. It is a passage from her best-selling 1992 self-help book, A Return to Love. And it says this: our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. I love this quote because it gives me a powerful tool to overcome self-doubt. Do you realize that you are powerful? That you were born with power? If we are powerful beyond measure, this means we can accomplish anything we set ourselves to do. We can live the life that we want to live, have the career we want to have, make brave choices, and simply just create amazing lives. For most of my life, I have searched for ways I can improve, grow, and develop, and not only for my own benefit, but for the benefit of others. I love to teach, to train, I love to speak, and also to preach in my own church. This is the reason why I always look for people to surround myself with that will add value to my life, people who are smarter than me, people who have accomplished the things that I want to accomplish, and people who are willing to invest their time in me by sharing their knowledge, their experience, and who are not afraid to be vulnerable by sharing their mistakes that they've made in hopes that I do not make those same mistakes. The title of this episode is Empowered Woman. I chose this name because I have experienced what an empowered woman can accomplish, but most importantly, how an empowered woman can impact other women and also the world around them. Earlier this year, I learned about Patricia Conde Brooks. She is an intercultural strategist, an inclusive leadership coach, an educator, and the executive director of student engagement and inclusion at the University of St. Thomas, the largest private university in the state of Minnesota. Patricia is that empowered woman who is empowering others. The fact that Patricia is Latina, originally from Colombia, is very impactful in that, as a Latina myself, I identify with mentors and leaders who look like me and who have my similar story. The story of the immigrant woman who came to this country with the dream of being successful and now being able to give back to her community by opening doors, creating opportunities, and believing in people and their potential. From a very early age, I was blessed to be embraced by women who took me in and helped me dream big dreams and showed me that with work, effort, and determination, we were able to achieve the goals that we set ourselves. Maybe you've had women in your life who mentored you, encouraged you, pushed you, and inspired you to do the things you never thought possible. Or if you haven't had this type of mentor or leader yet, I invite you to listen in to Patricia as she talks about how she was able to work toward her dreams and how you can too. I invite you to become that empowered woman who strives to empower others. Let's listen in. Patricia, welcome to my podcast. I am really honored that you are here with me today and just helping us understand a little bit more about women and why we're so important to ourselves, but also to each other and to our communities. I want to just start us by getting to know yourself, but let me ask you, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Still surviving in Minnesota winter, it seems like. And spring is supposed to be here, but I hear snow is coming.
I know. And yeah. So at the time of this recording, I know we were supposed to have a snowstorm here later tonight. And so, uh-huh. And we're in the almost in the middle of spring, right?
Yeah, that's what it says in the calendar anyway.
Yeah, it is Minnesota. So, Patricia, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are? Who is Patricia Conde Brooks? Just so that we can get to know you a little bit better for those people that are listening and don't know who Patricia is today.
I am originally from Bogota, Colombia. I'm an immigrant. I am a first-generation college student. My mother moved my family to the United States when I was about to enter high school to a small town in Oklahoma. I was the first in my family, first to go to college in the United States. I was the first woman in my family to graduate from college, and still to this day, I'm the only woman in my family to graduate from college, which is a point of pride for me, but it's also a little isolating sometimes because you somehow it feels like you can sometimes share experiences. So education is a way of opening doors for me. I went on to get my bachelor's degree and then my master's degree in human relations with the emphasis in multicultural communication. And I started my journey in higher education. I'm an educator. I've been in education for over 30 years, mostly working in college campuses, providing access and retention for underrepresented students. I moved to the Twins, lived in several places in the United States, but moved to Minnesota 17 years ago. Started working at the University of St. Thomas, which is our largest private university in the state of Minnesota. 17 years, went back to school, got my doctorate in organizational development and change management. And then on the side, because of my work during my doctorate, I started doing research and specifically research on women of color and research on leadership, and really have a specialty on Latina leadership and Latina leadership development. And so, yeah, that's what I do. I started a research firm, worked with a company, the Bridgify Group out of El Paso, Texas. But we have an arm that is called El Puente Institute. Into the El Puente Institute, we're continuing to do research and leadership development for Latinos, and just working to expand the knowledge and importance that we need to have in making sure that we have Latino representation and education for my Latino community.
You know, Patricia, that introduction is wow. Every time you tell me or you say about what you have done, the education that you've had, the things that you've accomplished in your life so far, and I want to take us back to your first. You know, first you were an immigrant, first person to graduate from college, first person in your family, even to today. And so there is a lot of firsts that you have, and I think that I can almost imagine that a lot of the people that are going to be listening to this episode can identify with your story, because there's a lot of firsts for a lot of us, and we need people like yourself, I myself included, seeing women advance. And not only that, something that is very important to me, and I know to a lot of women that I've talked to over the years, is the support that we can have among women, and supporting each other and helping each other out, and showing you my flaws and my mistakes so that maybe you don't have to go through the same thing. And I cannot imagine that you haven't had any of that in your life, in your trajectory, in terms of your profession. What can you tell me about just being a successful Latina immigrant, for the first of so many things? Again, to me, Patricia, just being the first Latina in your family to graduate from college is a huge win, and it's a huge success story. But you didn't stop there; you kept going, and it's still going. And so can you just tell us a little bit about what is it that you define as success today through your experience, your personal life, professional life?
So it's interesting because I'm kind of looking at the tail end of my career. I won't tell people how old I am, but let's just say I'm quite matured. And as I think about it, what I've seen as success has been the opportunity to hold doors open for those that might share some of my similar backgrounds. So once again, for the immigrants, first generation students, those that come from underrepresented communities, just being able to, when I think back about who helped me out of my career, sadly, I've never had a Latina do that because I never had any professors, teachers, supervisors that were Latinos, right? We're building that community within the Latino community, but I didn't have that. I always talk about how Latinas, we have an adobe ceiling, right? We can't, it's for us, we don't have a glass ceiling, we have an adobe ceiling. We're not able to see because it's murky. On top of, we still were, so we're starting to chip away at the adobe ceiling, but I did have other people help me. And success has been being able to continue to leave those doors open to others and continue to provide education. I already said it once, I'll say it again. For me, education opened doors and provided access in ways that other, I find that is really important. So just being able to continue to do that work is what I define as success. and being able now, as what I think, I hope I am a Latina that has more influence or privilege now, and being able to be in places and spaces that I can be the one that opens the door to other younger Latinas. So I'm very thoughtful about being mentoring people, opening doors for other people, opening communication, and supporting others to be able to help with that. And while I do have a focus on the Latino community, I'm also aware that other women from other backgrounds, marginalized backgrounds, also need that help. So whenever it's possible, I find it successful when I can make those connections and help people out. So that to me is success, is helping others out and lifting others out. And I find that to be rewarding and the reason why I do the work that I do.
I love it. And I can attest to that. I am evidence of you jumping to help others. I know I've only met you maybe, 3-4 months ago, if that. And mm-hmm. the first time that we first spoke over Zoom, you jumped at the opportunity to say, hey, here's this opportunity. Are you interested? And you didn't know me that much. You did not know about me. You maybe looked me up on LinkedIn or whatever, but just the fact that you gave me the opportunity to go and do something that was going to benefit me. It didn't benefit you one bit, but it benefited me in terms of what I did. And that speaks volumes of somebody, and especially, like I said, women like myself, we are, I've been in that professional side. I'm an entrepreneur, and we need to see women who are not only, they've done the career, they're experienced, they have the network, they have the means, if you will, their resources. And it's very important for other women to know that there are women who are willing to help and to help support, to provide opportunities like you're talking about. And so what are some tips, that will help me be a better professional, but a better mom, a better wife, whatever that case may be. And if I know that there are people out there that are not just looking for their own interests, but they're actually looking for opportunities for yourself, that is huge. It helps you as a professional, like you said, in living within the purpose that you have. But at the same time, it helps so many other people believe in themselves when maybe nobody else did. And so I really appreciate that you bring that to light. And so that's why I'm going to go to the next question for you and ask you, why do you think it's important for women to be looking out for each other and be helping each other? And if you see an opportunity, be the sponsor of that person and say, hey, you probably need to look at this. And in our community, that is so very much needed. What can you tell me about that?
When we look at the research around women pay, and we look at the research about women's, just this week alone, there was, I think, I can't remember right now off the top of my head, but I can provide you that information exactly. Mm-hmm. Women that are serving on boards, women that are in Fortune 500s, we just see the lack of the numbers and representations. And I know that's, pretty much corporate, but it does affect all of us and it affects all women. And so, but yet women are making up over half of the labor force, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a disparity of who is representing and where and what that, how that happens. So we can learn from men. We can learn from that, the way that, they help each other, they pull each other up, they open doors. That's kind of what is sad is sometimes because of a scarcity, we then are fighting for the same opportunities instead of adding to the opportunities or adding for others. I'm a mother of three sons, which is kind of like, I love for my sons to be successful but absolutely. I also want to make sure that women in their life partners or have opportunities too. And so there's an opportunity for to be more representation at the table, an opportunity for different points of views, different life experiences. We've seen where women are have an opportunity to open doors or change policy, where it becomes more inclusive, more organizations find themselves, caring and retaining people differently, possibly because of the way that we have been formed in society as being caretakers, taking care of others. And therefore, we tend to bring the same qualities to work. And so I think it's important that we, when given the chance and given the opportunity, that we do that. I was going to go back and say something that I think that we were talking about our experience, the two of us that we had, but what I found empowering and the reason why I really, when I talked to you, Julieta, is that you were willing to ask for help And you were willing to say, hey, can you help me out? What do you know? Who do you know? And that actually, to me, is one of the biggest things that we can do. And it's so paralyzing and so scary for people to be vulnerable and to reach out to a complete stranger and say, hey, is there something you can do for me? But it really, we need more people to do that. And that's one of the things that I, as an educator, I mostly work, I've worked with only college students most of my life. And I, when they come to me and they ask me for something, I always tell them, I said, you already did the right thing. You asked for help. You asked for information. And so having that vulnerability of being able to say, hey, I need help with this. To me, that's just, that really makes a difference. So when someone reaches out to me and they ask me, I really try to, as much as I can, provide that assistant or at least acknowledge the fact that you vote, if I can, I will help you. I may not have the answer that day, but I will, because that's probably one of the biggest mistakes I ever made when I was young, is didn't ask people for help, because I saw asking for help as shameful, or I didn't know what I was doing. And now I'm unapologetically too about asking for help or assistance. So really, that shows maturity, and it really it can be life-changing.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up because it took me a while, I have to admit. It took me a while in my life and my career to actually ask for help, to ask someone else, how they can support. And because, to your point, I believed earlier in my life, if I ask for help, that's just only going to make me look weak. And that changed. I had a shift in my mindset about that because we create different beliefs in our life that, oh, that person would never help me because, they're either too high up, too important, whatever. We create those images in our mind, and then that stops us from getting ahead. And you're right. I think that asking for help doesn't make us look weak. It makes us actually look smart because we can't know everything as much as we want to, as much as we, oh, I know how to do that and I know how to do that. And yes, we have been gifted with so many things that we are able to do. But there are just things that there's just not going to happen because it's not in our wheelhouse. And so then asking for help, at least I want to believe that now, right? It's like it makes me look smart because I'm going to other people who've been there, done that, and who may have the possibility to help. And so would you say then that that is one key aspect of supporting others, supporting each other?
Yes, I think normalizing that asking for help, which is kind of funny because if you think about it, we Google everything.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And that is asking for help.
Or we ask our digital devices for all kinds of questions all day long. So we are conditioning to constantly being asked. And
Yes.
it's just transforming those questions and humanizing those questions to the right individual. And then kind of, and I know people would say it's sort of networking. Well, it is kind of networking, but it's a different type of networking. I always say not every networking has to produce a like contact or a financial gain. Sometimes the
Right.
networking is just a relationship building. And maybe the person that you first ask doesn't know. And I do that quite often because I only know so much. And then I can say, but let me connect you to someone that might know something more than me. And so just being willing to open those doors so that other people can have that information, that communication. I just always say, you ask Google for this, why wouldn't you ask somebody for that? And so yes, I think it is key, and normalizing that, and in one hand, and the other hand, having just the humility that you don't know what you don't know. And so learning that others may know that. And I understand sometimes maybe because of your where you are in life or your maturity level, it may seem as a weakness, or you may perceive that as a maybe you have imposter syndrome and you don't want people to know. And it's kind of scary asking for help. It really is. And for my that's from my from my own self experience. I know when the first couple of times that I got comfortable asking for people for help, I was scared. I was scared to ask. I was scared to be vulnerable. Was I asking the right question? Was I asking the right person? What was going to happen? And what I do find is that in today's world and technology, just like look at us meeting over Zoom, and I have made so many connections in the last couple of years of women that I, people that I would have never met had it not been for Zoom. So on the plus side of the pandemic, maybe that's what left us behind, is that the ability to communicate and reach out to people that normally we would have never had access to, because it was complicated getting to people and getting appointments or getting in person and people are more likely to give you a 30-minute conversation over Zoom than they would have been meeting you for coffee somewhere or going somewhere. So I would say, I think, you know, asking for help, and then if someone reaches out to you, giving that help. And sometimes the help is just connecting you to somebody else.
I love it. I love it. And thank you for bringing that to light and for giving us permission. All of the listeners that are, you know, that are listening right now, to giving us permission to be vulnerable. There's nothing wrong with you asking for help. And in fact, I have found also, and you may agree with me, that there are more people out there that want to help than not. And so, So thank you for that, Patricia. I want to wrap us up here in a moment. And I want to ask you, what are some tips that you might give women, people in general, about getting ahead, going for their dreams, even in spite of obstacles? What are some tips that maybe you went through, some ideas and or advice that you would give my audience today?
So I think we kind of talked a little bit about a couple of those, being able to ask for help, being vulnerable. You will make mistakes. And I think that's one of the hardest ones to sometimes deal with, or disappointments, so you'll get rejections, right? I actually had a young Latina woman this week that I work with who got a rejection from one of the, she had applied for something that was her dream, and then reached out to me, and I kind of said to her, you know, you're going to sit with a little bit of the anger, and then you're probably going to think, was it my fault? Could I have done something different? What more could I have done? And that's okay to sit with that for a little bit, but then you got to start moving forward and saying, what am I going to do next? Mm-hmm. And what is my next plan? And how do I succeed? And what do I do? And then reassuring her that she wasn't doing it by herself, and that others were there to help her, including myself. I offered to help anyway that I could, or connect her with anybody else. So perseverance is it sounds like all of this sounds sort of a little cliche, like, yeah, that's easy. That's easy. No, it's not.
It's not. It really is
it's not. And I believing in yourself is really important. And at times you'll have doubts. We all do. And why am I doing this? Or is it going to work out? And then I think, and this is part of my Latina upbringing, my community has a strong sense of familismo, comunidad. That you're, whatever you do, you're not going to probably do it by yourself, that there's going to take other people. I have not gotten where I gotten without the validation and the support of many other in my community, anywhere from my family to my my friends, my colegas, and what I call my comadres in the Latino community. Comadres are those women that you count as your friend. And so I would say, always make sure that your circle is a good circle, right? I think I put something on LinkedIn a few months ago, and I didn't think he was going to get that much attention, but he did. I put something like, make sure that you surround yourself with a group of women, and in this case, I use Latinas, that would mention your name when there's an opportunity for growth. Yes. And I think I got over 100 and some of people liking it, and some people reshared it. So I think that's what I'm saying, is to surround yourself with people that you know, given the opportunity, would sponsor you, would mentor you, would be there for you. And it's just having that ability of knowing who is on my side or who's there for me, because I believe that hardly anything in life you ever do, you do by yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And then when you think that you can do it by yourself, you find out, I need help. I need other people to come alongside me. Patricia, thank you so very, very much for your time. Thank you for your knowledge, for your wisdom, and for sharing of what you have done and what you're willing to do, what you continue to do right now, and in serving the community and serving other women and just being there as a support system, if you will, for women who are willing to ask for help, like you said, and who are willing to be vulnerable. I appreciate your time. Anything else that you want to leave us with today?
No, we'll get that. It's a pleasure. And I just want to thank you for having this space where others can learn and share their perspective, because I think we also need more spaces like this where we can have an opportunity to learn from each other. So I appreciate you doing this. Hopefully somebody will get something out of what I said.
Oh, I'm sure you. A lot will. I'm sure a lot will. I got something out of it myself right now.
Okay. So muchísimas gracias.
Yeah, gracias. Hey, if you feel stuck and want to start living a life of purpose, I want to invite you to join my Purpose Driven Woman program. You're going to do some self-discovery, the hardest part, and then begin to build your confidence so you can get unstuck by using my proven formula. Begin living a life that you are happy about. Just head over to www.julietapiox.com/purpose-driven-woman. I'll see you on the inside.